Praise the Lord. It's good to be with you this morning. Grateful that you are here. I always love worshiping the Lord with my friends. Let's see here. I'm excited about today because I know that God is still powerful. And today is Communion Sunday. And this morning, I'm gonna take the entire time when we're gonna kind of walk through communion. I'm gonna try to take my time to do this, and also known as the Lord's Supper. And I want to share with you about communion because I want us to begin to understand, and I know many of you do understand what communion represents, but some of you know the significance of it, but not everybody does. So please be patient. But I also think I'm very, very excited because I believe that the power of God is going to come in the room today. I believe that the Holy Spirit's already here. Again, I shared when we walked through the book of Revelation, I was so delighted in that first chapter there toward the end that Jesus walks among his churches. I dig that, okay? That just excites my heart. We're going to talk about communion this morning. Many of you have been a part of that. We have just a little bitty cracker. It's itty bitty. That's the bread. And we do grape juice. And so you won't have to worry about drinking that later on. But I want to talk this morning about what those represent, what those symbolize. And so in order to do that, we kind of have to go backwards. Raise your hand if you read through the Old Testament. Yeah, several of you have read the Old Testament. Raise your hand if you read the New Testament. More hands. Okay. So we're gonna go back to the Old Testament. I'm going to briefly share with you out of the book of, this was found in the book of Exodus. So this meal that Jesus, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, this was the Passover meal. Okay, some of you heard of that. So we find that in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, as I said. And so what was going on, God's people, Israel, became slaves in Egypt. And God heard their cries for God to rescue them out of that and deliver them. And so God ends up doing that. God uses against Egypt, he sends a number of plagues. Forgive me, I won't be able to tell you what all those plagues were right off the top of my head. But there were several plagues. There was like gnats and frogs and darkness and I think some hail. And then the last one was the biggest. And it was just awful. But it was because Pharaoh wouldn't let God's people go. And so in other words, God said, listen, if you won't let my son go, Israel, then I'm going to take yours. And that's exactly what happens. So Moses, Pharaoh said, no, you're not leaving. Israel's not leaving. They were slaves. He was using them and abusing them. And so he said, no. Then Moses walks away and God speaks to Moses' heart and he says, you tell your people, tell my people, Israel, tell them they're to sacrifice a lamb for each family. Sacrifice a lamb and then you take the blood from that lamb and you put it on the doorpost of the entrance of their home. Okay? That'd be the door jamb. So they go and do that. They sacrifice a lamb. They take the blood. They basically paint it on the doorpost. And the reason for that, God told Moses, have them do this, and so that when my angel comes to kill the firstborn of Egypt, the angel will see the blood and pass over that house. So that is the context of the meal that Jesus was sharing with his disciples when he instituted the Lord's Supper right here, or what we also refer to as Holy Communion. Okay, so I hope maybe it's starting to click a little bit even now. So that's the context of what was going on. Jesus is eating this meal. This was something they were to celebrate each and every year. This was a holy day for them, right? Every year they participated in this meal, kind of like we do Thanksgiving. Guess what? That's this month, right? And we say thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. We today say thank you for our loved ones that are around, and we rejoice in those things. But that's what was going on here when Jesus institutes communion. That there was this meal, and it was to remember God's deliverance from slavery. Can you imagine how big of a deal that would have been? What do we do every year when we celebrate our freedom? We shoot off fireworks, make a lot of noise, don't we? It's kind of like that. But that meal was to totally honor God, and likewise this meal is to completely honor God. That's what it's about, and so we're going to do that this morning. And you have to understand the Passover. There was two elements when we talk about communion, bread and juice. But we need to look. And a matter of fact, can you put the first scripture on the screen, verse 23? It's going to say, and this is out of 1 Corinthians. Paul wrote this, and let me give you just a little bit of background to what he's writing. Some of the stuff that he's writing about. He is trying to correct some not so great behavior in that church at the time. What they were doing was they would come, they didn't do it like we do it. They would sit down for that meal, and some would start early and stuff their faces, and others would come and not have anything to bring, and others weren't sharing at all. And so Paul's kind of said, "Hey guys, you got to fix that." And so then he says here in verse 23. He says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On that night, on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. Okay? And this isn't the bread like was on the first slide. Can you go back to that slide? It's not bread like that. You know why? Because that one has yeast in it, doesn't it? This bread is not supposed to have yeast in it. That's why our crackers are itty-bitty and flat. Okay? Their loaves were more like round, flat bread. Okay, didn't have any yeast. They didn't rise. And so Jesus took the bread. I think that'd be the next verse. There we go. It says, and Jesus gave thanks to God for it. What a great idea. Right? Matter of fact, this is November. The month, as I already mentioned, that we celebrate Thanksgiving. I want to encourage you and challenge you. When you come on the property for a service this month, remember to praise God. Say, "Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you that I get to go to church. Thank you that I get to honor you. Thank you that I get to live for you. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ." When you walk in the door, say thank you. Not to anybody in here, but to him. Right? Something that has just been on my heart for us to do. And what a joy. So Jesus breaks this bread at this meal, and he's breaking it, and then he's, you know, of course he's going to hand that out, and he gives thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces, gives thanks, and then he began to break it and pass it out. You know, some of our lives feel a little bit broken at times, don't they? See, I think that's one of the reasons communion, the Lord's Supper, is so important, so vital. Because I believe that in this time today, I believe that Jesus is going to show up and minister to you in all kinds of ways. It could be spiritual. Maybe you've been under attack. I think there's a handful of you in the room. I felt the Holy Spirit prod my heart during our song service about that. And if that's you, hey, don't. You don't need to cower in shame, because I think it's probably because you're doing some good, all right? But the Lord's gonna work. The Lord's gonna touch your mind even. Because guess where the battle is most of the time? Right there. finances, emotions, relationships. God can move when we give him opportunity, don't you think? So, look at the scripture again. It says, then he broke it in pieces and said, what did he say? This is my body? That sounds weird, doesn't it? But Jesus had already said something like this. Can you go toward the end to John chapter 6? There's two verses down there. Go to the first one of the two. John chapter 6, verse 51. Jesus says here to a group of followers, and he loses a few of them. You got to understand. He loses a few when he says this. Okay, this is not the same time as the Passover meal that they were celebrating. This is another time frame. Jesus said, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Now let's go back for a second. You don't have to, Gay, you can stay right here. But let's go back for a second. Now we're back at the Passover meal, and Jesus thanks God, and he breaks the bread, and he says, this is my body. Right? Does it make sense? Jesus is saying, hey, and he'd already said in the verse or two before, he said, he was talking about manna from heaven. He said, manna for the Israelites, when God delivered them, God provided. And see, manna would just, it was kind of like dew from heaven, and it would land on the ground, and they would go and gather it up and then cook it and eat. God provided for them supernaturally, and guess what he's going to do today? God's going to provide supernaturally. Jesus is the bread, and guess what? We need to eat. Anybody hungry? Forget about the roast. We're not talking about that right now. We're talking about Jesus, the living bread, okay? So let's look further here. He says, anyone who eats this bread, which was him, right, which was Jesus, and he wasn't saying come and take a bite. That's weird. That is not what he was saying, but he was pointing ahead to this, wasn't he? He said, anyone who eats this bread will live forever, hallelujah, and this bread which I will offer. He wasn't very far away from doing it. This bread which I will offer so the world may live is my flesh. And again, we don't eat Jesus, but we eat what he represents and symbolizes, and we're hungry for him. Anybody hungry for Jesus? Anybody hungry for what he has to offer? Because listen, whatever everything the world has to offer will leave you still hungry, thirsty, dry, and empty. I promise. It makes no difference. Listen, I enjoy the Chiefs, but it makes no difference what their record is in the grand scheme of things. Okay, I know some of you like crazy teams like Green Bay and hey, I still love you. I'm picking on you. There's a 49ers fan in the room. We still love you. We still love you. They're proud of it. They're just not on camera. So we're proud of you even though you're wrong. My point is, listen, if that's the stuff you're living for, you're going to be dry and empty. I hate to break it to you. But I'd prefer to love you and tell you the truth instead of being like, and I don't think that Jesus has a problem with us enjoying those things. But it's when we put the stuff of the world in front of Jesus, then he's like, hey, I died for you. Right? Jesus said, I'm the bread. He said, I'm the bread. And if you will eat of me, you're going to live forever. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Let's look at the next verse, he said. It's a couple verses later in verse 54. Jesus says, but anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Hallelujah. And I will, look at this, and I will raise that person at the last day. You're going to be resurrected, right? Hallelujah. So, guess what? We've got to make sure, yeah. It's a big deal. We've got to make sure that we're eating well, right? Or that we're coming to the right table. This is separate from the dinner table. It's making sure that we're being fed from him and of him, right? So I think that's one of the things that this points to is continually making sure that we are approaching Jesus and coming through the right pattern. So let's go back to the previous verse. Yeah. So the bread, there you go. Thank you. The bread, he gave thanks, and then he hands the bread out. Okay. Symbolizes Jesus' body. Now let me say a couple things briefly about Jesus' body. We know that he was whipped, right? He was whipped like 39 times. And they say that Jesus, when he was whipped, that that this whip had like seven, I don't know what to call them. And there was bone and glass and different things in the ends of it. I don't know if that's true. I couldn't have handled like five of them, even if it didn't have any bone or glass. Jesus stood there like a boss and took it. They punched him in the face. They looked at him, mocked him. They spit in his face. That's our Savior. He's the Savior to the one who did that to him. Wow. Jesus is my hero. You can have Batman and Superman. Jesus is my hero. They beat him. And let me mention about those when they whipped him. The scripture, the New Testament quotes an Old Testament passage found in Isaiah chapter 53. It said that that particular verse says, "And by his stripes," when he was whipped, "by his stripes," by Jesus doing that, enduring that, and taking on that suffering, by him doing that, it's by those stripes, we are healed. So that means to me that healing is available to us right now, not just when we get to heaven someday. That's exciting. Because I bet if I asked you to raise your hand, I bet you'd have like a dozen, if not more, people that say, "I could use healing in my body." Yeah, I'm one of them. I need healing in my shoulder. It's not working right. And I'm believing Jesus to heal it today. His body. He's thankful for his body. Let's move to the next verse. Paul continues here and he says, "In the same way, Jesus took the cup of wine after supper." I got to stop there. I can't continue on just yet because we have to understand there was this cultural thing of the day that I've missed for years. There was three, if not four, cups of blessing involved and incorporated in this particular meal, this Passover meal. This one was likely the third cup. It's a cup of blessing. And if I'm not mistaken, they would pour some of it out and drink some of the rest of it. You'd have to check on that. I'm not 100% certain. Pouring it out just as honor to God. But this was the cup of redemption. What? God always weaves things in beautifully and exactly. He amazes me. Jesus says, he picks up that cup, that cup of blessing, that cup of redemption, and he says, "Hey, this cup, this one, y'all know what it means." They knew what it meant. We didn't. This cup of redemption, he says, "This cup is a new covenant between God and his people." A covenant. Jesus is establishing a new covenant with God, is establishing a new covenant through Christ. Look at what he says. He says, "A covenant is an agreement confirmed with my blood." Now, let me take you back to Exodus again. Moses, when God had delivered his people, God had told Moses, God had given him a covenant, and he said, "Now sacrifice a lamb and sprinkle the people with the blood." They'd usually take like a little hyssop branch and they would dip it into that blood and then they would splatter it on the people. Seriously, who wants that? Right? No, I've got my good shirt on. Please don't. Right? But it was important. We've got to have the blood applied to us, don't we? So Moses would splatter that blood on the people, and that blood that symbolized the seal of that blood and the covenant of it. Israel was agreeing to God's covenant, to his terms. But this time, God provides the lamb, doesn't he? Aren't you thankful? And so we do need the blood on us. It's just not getting splattered in the same fashion. See, I don't put the blood on you. You have to get it yourself. Well, how do you do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's simply through repentance. You say, Jesus, forgive me. Wash me. Come into my life. It's just that it's simple. So we've got to have the blood applied. Remember the doorpost? We've got to have the blood on the doorpost of our hearts. Jesus said, I'm making a new covenant with you. This is a covenant of redemption. I'm redeeming you. And he was, you know the story. After this meal that Jesus had with his disciples, after that meal, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray before Jesus was arrested. Okay, so the hour was there. Jesus is saying, hey, it's almost done. This deal's almost done. I'm making a new covenant with you now. And that's what we're doing. We're remembering the covenant that God made with us through Christ, which is, you come to me and I'm going to forgive you. Isn't that awesome? I'll write your name in a book and you're going to be with me forever. Isn't that wonderful? I just love who he is. And so, Holy Communion is such an important aspect. So today when we participate, I think that several things occur when we focus. I think one of the things that is beneficial to us is slowing down. Our lives are pretty fast-paced, aren't they? And especially if you live in a bigger city, it's even faster. I don't think I can keep up anymore. Life is just so fast. So we do very well to slow down a little bit and remember who Jesus is. I think another aspect that communion offers us, I've already mentioned, and I think that Jesus instituted this, and I think that Jesus came to make us whole. That means, as I mentioned before, that spiritual aspect of who you are, any relationships, emotions, relationships, financial, whatever. I think that Jesus wants to make you whole. He wants to do several things in your life. And when we slow down enough to look to him, he's going to have opportunity to do that, isn't he? So, the worship team is going to come. And I want to... And drink this cup. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We proclaim that Jesus provides redemption. We proclaim that Jesus provides a way of salvation and eternity in heaven. We proclaim that all the time. Amen? That's what he offers. So stand with me as we celebrate who Jesus is and we receive that work that he did on the cross. Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. You alone are worthy. You alone are great. Now, God, I ask that you move in this place. Lord, that you would bring healing to those bodies who need healing, that you would bring deliverance from those who are under attack of the enemy, that you, God, would move in the finances of those who are struggling, that you would minister, that you would speak to hearts, and that you would move in each one of these lives who have said, today, Lord, I want to live for you. I want your blood applied to the doorpost of my heart. We celebrate who you are. We celebrate that you are the one who has redeemed us. We needed it. You provided it. And we are grateful forever and ever. You deserve all the praise today, God. And now I ask you to go with your people and encourage them. Make your beautiful face shine upon them. Lord, may your character be in us so that we would represent you well, whatever we, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. Help us to bring glory and honor and praise to you. You deserve it all. And it's in Jesus' precious name that I pray. Amen. Hey, God bless you. It is so good to worship the Lord with you. We do have service tonight at 6 o'clock. Want to know you're invited to that. Wednesday nights we have